So if I were to ask you today, if there are things that would bother you, how might you respond? If I were to ask you what things cause you to be frustrated, worried, upset about the world in which we live, what would you say to that? If I were to ask you to write or voice any questions, concerns, or doubts that you have about the validity of God's promises in relationship to some of those matters, I wonder what we would hear. We would hear exactly what's going on inside you right now. Because your questions, your frustrations, your speculations and worry, your fear and doubt are important to voice. And God cares about them. The reality is we all have stuff. We all have stuff. That's how the Apostle Paul began this last chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians. He refers to some other questions that they would have communicated to him, either by letter or through a messenger. He says, we all have stuff. Unfortunately, we don't have any record of their specific concerns, though it's worth remembering that they were facing intense persecution for choosing to follow Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul's response to them is significant and likely an indication that their concerns revolved around the subject of Paul's well-being amid a tumultuous political time, one that was directly opposed to the rise of Christianity. However, Paul wanted them to remember that the word had transformed their lives and that the work of the word of the Lord was not yet completed. And we may be inclined to think negatively upon what appears to be direct negligence in Paul's approach to answering their questions. It seems almost dismissive. We're used to having quick, direct access to information. Therefore, it's important to recognize that Paul was also helping them to develop strength in their relationship with God. Author A.J. Svoboda, in his book, After Doubt, speaks into this current cultural perspective of ours, our need for quick answers, when he says the truths of the New Testament took tremendous time, cost, and risk. When a church needed an answer or issue, they were not privileged to write a quick email, send a text, or find a helpful podcast on a topic. Rather than dig into the real, the blood, the guts, the problems of actual life in a community of worshipers, we replace it with digital environments that allow us to validate our doubts without needing to confess them to others and who can help us bear with them. Our modern existence is not set up for any kind of patient prayer that waits for the answer over a lifetime. Rather, we can have all the answers without having to form character that can handle them well. I think Mr. Svoboda is reflecting the importance of growing strong in the Lord and how quick our quest for answers, can often work against the strength-giving process of being yielded to the work of God in our lives. We all have stuff, Paul says, to summarize their list of concerns. But here's the way to deal with that stuff. Allow the Word of God to do its work in you. Paul understood that the Word of God is eternal. He understood the importance of being connected with other people of shared faith in Christ, brothers and sisters, he calls us. There was an urgency to his words that reflected the eternal power of God and the purpose of the word of the Lord to be made known to all the peoples in all the nations of all the earth, just like we just sung. And so he reminds the Thessalonians and us that our focus needs to be on the fulfillment of this purpose. We need to pray to God for it, and we need to help one another to live it out in our everyday lives. This is actually something that he wrote to them in his first letter in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. And if you turn back a page or two, you'll find it. He uses the same terminology with them. He says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Do you see this point of emphasis that Paul is making? The Word of God has work to do not only in us, but through us. And some of you will have had this experience where you can recognize a significant difference in your own perspective, your own attitude, and your involvement as a result of responding to the Word of the Lord. You received it, and then influenced your life, and that was noticed by others. And for some of you who have had the privilege of being surrounded by a family of Jesus, perhaps even several generations, you may notice the differences in your own family life as opposed to those around you, your peers, who have not had that influence of the Word of God in their lives. You see, we all have stuff, but God's Word is up to the challenge of that stuff. But notice, secondly, that evil is present even in the stuff. We discussed the presence of evil from the author of evil, Satan, when we looked at the work of the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, in chapter 2. Let me refer you back to that message for the reminder that his efforts are futile. They end in defeat. However, let me offer you a simple word of caution. Do not underestimate the cunning and craftiness of evil. Satan is known as a father of lies. He's known as a deceiver, a thief, and a destroyer. He takes the good that God has created and purposed and tempts you to disregard it and downplay its significance for your life. He attempts to distract you from the presence and power of God at work in the world today over and against the confusion that sin and evil are bringing upon us. And although evil is present in the stuff, we need to be reminded, we need to be grounded in, we need to have firmly fixed in our minds that the Lord is faithful. Right? Say that with me. The Lord is faithful, right? The Lord is faithful. Remind yourselves of that. That which he has promised to do, he has been doing. That which he has yet to do, it will not be left undone. He is faithful. And because he is faithful, then please know this, that the Lord desires to strengthen you. In the previous section of this passage, at the end of chapter 2, which Patrick led us through a couple of weeks ago, Paul gives us a word of encouragement, almost like another benediction or prayer, a prayer of blessing on the brothers and sisters, when he says, "May the Lord encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." And now here again, and we see a similar reminder in verse 3. We see a similar reminder in verse 3 that the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. How does the Lord strengthen you? How does he strengthen me? Let me say this. If you are a pull yourself up by your own bootstraps kind of person, then this next part isn't for you. You can check out. I'll let you know when you can check back in. If you're here, if you're just a I'll put my head down and keep on going kind of person, then this likely isn't going to be for you either. If you're a I'll just figure it out by myself kind of person, then this definitely will not be for you. This is for those who are frustrated. This is for those who are troubled or even disillusioned by the circumstances of this world. This is for those who are discouraged. This may even be for those who are weary from constant change. This is for those who might struggle with questions and doubt and who desire to strengthen their relationship with the Lord in spite of all of that. This is for me. And if it's for you as well, then that's good. When Paul reminds the followers of Jesus to allow the Lord to strengthen them, to give them strength, this is not for times of exception. This is not an emergency plan. Rather, this is to be continually developed in their lives. We'll not have time to look up all the Bible passages that are referenced that you'll see on the screen. However, we'll include them in the descriptions of the video that will be available online, both on Facebook and YouTube, after this. So if it's helpful, or if it's even more helpful, you can have a copy of my notes, and I can certainly arrange for you to have paper. That's so funny. Paper. Who knew? Who knew paper would be the exception, right? Sorry, that's just my own technological humor going off my brain. Stay on the script. Let's learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Number one, acknowledge that He is Lord. When we say that He is Lord, that Jesus is Lord, that means that you are not. Submitting yourself to God, knowing that He is the one through whom transformation of our lives, transformation of our perspectives happens, because He is Lord. Number two, regularly give thanks. Offer a word of praise, not for what God does, but for who He is, His love, His compassion, His mercy, His grace, His holiness, power, provision, presence. He is creator, He is redeemer, He is sustainer, and thank Him for the demonstration of that characteristic in your life, even from within difficult circumstances. Number three, ask Him to search your heart and your mind. That's a hard one. As you remember that He is God and that He is faithful, the Holy Spirit begins to bring areas of your life, whether attitudes or actions, thoughts or words, that may need to be confessed to Him. And so that brings us to four. Confess it. Just don't think about it. Voice it to God. Confess it. Your faith is strengthened through trust in His grace, which accepts you for who you are, even in your weaknesses, and restores you from sin. He is faithful to do this. Number five, remind yourself that you belong to Jesus. When you experience the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and place your faith in Him, the Holy Spirit takes hold of your life and begins to teach you to live according to the truth and the power of Jesus. From that forgiveness, you have new freedom by Christ's power to see that your life belongs to Him, and His life starts to be lived out in you. You need to choose to respond to the Spirit's work in this. Jesus loves you, and He gave Himself up for you. And so ask the Spirit then to lead you. As you confess sin and you create space in your heart and mind that needs to be filled, it's kind of like emptying out a closet. We empty a space out, and before you know it, it seems to be filled with other stuff. How does that even happen? But we know it does, but that stuff, all of a sudden, wherever it came from, it couldn't have gone there because there was other stuff in there before. Ask God to fill that space with the Holy Spirit, to lead you, to help you make decisions, and to produce in your character a life that reflects His presence to others. Listen to His word with a desire to act upon it. Allow the word of God to be central to your life. May it be quickened by the activity of the Holy Spirit. May it reflect the compassionate love of Christ towards others. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's a Jesus focus every day. That's what we were reminded of. That's what God instructed Moses to tell the Israelites. This is not new information. But we need to learn to listen deeply to the word with a desire to act upon it. Keep an eternal perspective. Even so, come. Your faith in Jesus does not protect you from going through difficulty. That kind of thinking is never stated in the Word of God, nor is that experience ever given to us. If I may, it really bothers me when people say that everything's going to be okay. Just pray. It'll be all right. You'll be fine. That's just not the reality of the world that we live in. And God holds us in the midst of all of that through an eternal perspective. Everything won't be all right in the time and space that we occupy on this side of the return of Jesus. I think we need to be mindful of that. as we go through. And understand that God's grace and mercy are more than available to sustain us through those difficulties. God understands all of this, and He has a greater eternal purpose for us to pursue. We get caught up pursuing our kingdom and hoping that God's kingdom doesn't come on earth as it is in heaven, because it might interfere with our own plans. Anybody else come across that? Remember, you're just listening into my conversation with me. Resolve to resist the work and influence of evil. As we learn to develop this kingdom unfolding, new heaven anticipating perspective, then we will be more ready to recognize the deception and the disguises of evil. And we will be proactive in resisting it. I call it painting big black lines around certain things. We can learn to live freely within the power of Jesus, apart from the entrapments of sin and evil. And number 10. Persevere. Jesus is coming. May the prayer of our Lord, when he reminds us at the end of the book, right? Come, Lord Jesus. May the prayer of the Lord, His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May the prayer of the Lord be the anthem of our lives and the motivation by which we live, according to the truth, knowing that Christ will return to bring ultimate fulfillment to His kingdom purposes in the establishment of the new heavens and new earth, where the old order of things will be more and all things will be made new. There is no shortcut to this strength-giving process which is developed in our communication to God. Pray, Paul says. We need to be strengthened in faith in our Lord to embrace the unknown and the new realities of our world. Additionally, we cannot embrace the new until we're willing to relinquish the old. That in itself is a difficult truth to declare in a I can do it all and I can have it all kind of world. However, if there's one thing that the last 2 years have accentuated for us, is that we are reluctant to cross over from the familiarity of what was into the potential of what could be, directed according to the truth of God. And what do I mean by that? What does that look like? And some of you might remember this story from the Old Testament, from the account of Joshua. And after years of mentorship and learning and preparation under Moses, God had chosen him to lead the Israelites out of their wandering in the desert into the land that he had prepared for them, from something old and familiar to something new and unknown. In Joshua chapter 1, we read of God's instruction to him. Let's look at that together in Joshua chapter 1. If you have your Bible app, just plunk away at it there. Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible after the Pentateuch, after Deuteronomy. In chapter 1, these might be familiar words to some of you. Some of you might even have them written out on a plaque or something like that in your homes. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And then if you keep going, if you keep following Joshua and the Israelites through into chapter 3, Joshua then gives them, he brings them up to the Jordan, and he gives them instructions to the whole gathering of all the people of Israel. readying them to cross over from their old pattern to embrace the new. He tells them to consecrate themselves or strengthen themselves in the Lord because the Lord was going to work among them and the Lord was going to go before them as they crossed over into the new way, a new way of living, a new way of organizing themselves. It would be different than ever before, but God would be with them. So you are more equipped, we are more equipped in our culture to understand this perhaps than any other Western generation outside of a wartime era. We need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We need to understand that in our weakness, God makes us strong. That in our insufficiency, His grace is sufficient. That in our restlessness, He is our peace. That in our helplessness, He is merciful. And that God is at work among us and is going before us to lead us through. Gary Nelson has served as a pastor and also as past president and vice chancellor of Tyndale University in Toronto. A number of years ago, he wrote a book called Borderland Churches. And in that book, he wrote these words: "Our anxieties and fears are not caused by the inability to put our experience into words as helpful as this is. Crossing over is rarely embraced willingly. It is, however, only in the crossing over that God's new thing becomes possible. Joshua realizes that the only comforting thought he can offer is that God goes before and that God is with them." We need that reminder. I need that reminder. We need to push back against the urge for quick solutions and remind each other that God is working out a greater purpose, His kingdom purpose, an eternal purpose. We need to resist the temptation to believe that with just a little more knowledge, we can overcome evil. We need to spend our time in recognition that the tree of life still exists for us. It is the tree upon which Jesus died. And through the victory of Jesus upon the cross over sin and death, we have a great promise that is yet to be fulfilled. Jesus has gone before us. The Spirit of God is with us. We need to continually deepen our understanding. Although the circumstances of the world can be confusing and discouraging at times, there is a point of convergence. Jesus is coming again to set all things right. We need to be a people who share a responsibility for developing our faith in Jesus Christ, helping one another to take these steps of crossing over into new territory, knowing that God goes before us and that as we commit ourselves to making disciples, pointing others to Jesus, then He goes with us to the very end of this age, even preparing us for the age to come. May we indeed be people who demonstrate God's love and are enabled by Christ's perseverance. May we be ready to cross over, to go with God and follow His lead until He comes again. That's how we get strengthened in the Lord. That's how we keep a Jesus focus every day. Let's pray together. Questions? Worries, doubts, frustrations, anger, resentment. Father, we have them all. And sometimes we have them all at the same time. Thank you that you bend your ear low. Thank you that you hold us close and allow us to voice those to you. Thank you for the abiding presence of your Spirit by virtue of our faith in Jesus Christ. In a confusing world, you shine light in the darkness. You provide truth over deception. You provide hope in despair. May we be people who center ourselves on the life that Jesus has given to us, not just for a moment, but for all of eternity. Father, would you strengthen the faith of the one who is closest to wandering away. Father, would you direct the attention of one who has yet to place their trust in you? And would you empower us and enliven us to be aware of those people who need encouragement, or maybe who need good news as we go about our week? Use us for your glory, we pray. Strengthen us in the power and the truth of Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.